interview conducted by KABU reporters. Negotiators finalized the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement in Atlanta on Sunday. The 12 member nations, including the U.S., reached agreement after years of negotiations to the largest regional trade accord in history. The TPP agreement now faces months of debate in each of the member nations, including the U.S. Congress. For more information, Ken Jones spoke with Adam Weissman, an organizer with Global Justice for Animals and the Environment, also with Trade Justice New York Metro.
KABU News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Adam, there was an agreement reached on the TPP this weekend in Atlanta. You and I last talked in early August after the member nations failed to reach an agreement. Why were the latest talks successful?
I mean, they've been continuing to work out the ongoing sticking point details, but I think what really pushed them ahead towards a final deal in this negotiating round, and they really pushed this thing, they made a lot of compromises. They apparently pulled round-the-clock meetings, worked through nights. I think what really was motivating this was a concern about trying to finish the negotiations prior to the Canadian election, which is coming up in just a few weeks. Stephen Harper is waning in popularity. The opposition parties are much more critical and skeptical of TPP. So I think there's a concern by the negotiators that if the Canadian election happens without finishing a deal, they may be forced to actually pay more attention to issues that are of concern to Canadians and not allow Stephen Harper to go ahead and betray his own country on behalf of this international trade deal. And then as a result, the negotiations would be slowed. It would be harder to reach a final deal. So I think they wanted to rush this through and really undermine the will of the Canadian people who are increasingly supporting parties that are less have a less favorable attitude towards this agreement. And so, but now that the negotiation is completed, or now that the major parts of the negotiation are completed, the final details will still not be released, and it's quite possible some of the smaller points will still be tweaked. Now it's really too late for that to happen. So this is, it really, I think, speaks volumes to what utter disregard these international negotiators and the leaders that they represent have for the idea of democratic governance and for having trade policies that reflect the will of the people.
Now, that's Canada. If it does pass before the election in Canada, it still has to pass the U.S. Congress. Is that correct?
Well, that's right. And the real concern with Canada was that if the deal wasn't finished now, bringing another negotiating team to the table representing a different government might lead to very different results. So in terms of our own domestic context here in the U.S., there are a bunch of political considerations that now come to play. One is the presidential candidates are now increasingly going to be asked where they stand. Hillary Clinton has been playing this game throughout her presidential campaign of saying that she doesn't have a position on TPP and won't take one until she can actually see what's in the agreement. Well, that's funny because she certainly did not take that position the 45 times she expressed statements in support of TPP while Secretary of State. That certainly was not the position that was expressed if you look at her article, America's Pacific Century, in Foreign Policy magazine. Now, maybe she is going to say, well, that was her responsibility in working for her president, and she was not the person in charge, so she had to do her job. But that argument doesn't hold all that much water when she's now one of the few candidates who is avoiding actually taking a position on TPP, even at this time. To say that TPP is that she won't take a position until she sees the final agreement is really unacceptable, because we already know what this agreement is about. We know it from the U.S. the United States Trade Representative's own stated negotiating objectives. We know it from the extensive leaked text. We know it from the fact that the template for this agreement was the U.S. The Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, which is another terrible trade deal that has already been devastating to U.S. jobs and increased the U.S. trade deficit. We know a great deal about why we shouldn't support this agreement. I think it's quite clear that as the text is finally released, we will only find out more. The perhaps you could say the leaks have let us peer into Pandora's box a little, but I think once the agreement is actually released to the public, we will find out even more of the horrors that this thing contains on behalf of the 1% and at the expense of all the rest of us.
I wanted, Adam, to get back to Hillary Clinton's position on it. You had mentioned that she was for it quite a bit once she was Secretary of State and now is refusing or is somewhat hedging her bets on taking a position on the TPP. One of the interesting things about it is that there does seem to be some consensus in both parties against it. Both Bernie Sanders, for example, and Donald Trump oppose the agreement. So are there any candidates other than Hillary Clinton who seem like they would be pro-TPP?
Yeah, there are. We are seeing the interesting thing is that more of the candidates, a bunch of the Republican candidates have been quite critical either of TPP in very specific terms or more generally of TPP and of TPP and the Obama trade agenda. Many of them opposed giving Obama fast track authority when that was a big issue a few months ago, expanding his executive powers to negotiate these trade deals and send them to Congress, with Congress having limited authority and in no way able to amend them, being forced to vote on them within 60 days. Some of them have gone further and actually expressed either skepticism or outright criticism of TPP. Lately, Donald Trump has been quite vocal on TPP. Carly Fiorina has expressed concerns. On the other hand, Jeb Bush has been an enthusiastic supporter of TPP. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders has made this one of his signature issues. Hillary Clinton has done everything possible to avoid making it one of her issues at all. She hates when the question. My suspicion is she would much rather never have to answer this question. But unfortunately, well, fortunately for us and unfortunately for her presidential ambitions, people are very concerned about this issue, and this issue will keep coming back to her.
You mentioned Carly Fiorina, who I would think would be pro-TPP based on her corporate background. Why would Carly Fiorina oppose it? Donald Trump, too. Is it just because they want to oppose anything that Obama supports?
Donald Trump actually has quite a history of, in recent years, of being very critical of the free trade agenda. Much of his criticism on TPP dovetails very closely with the statements he's made on China. He seems to be reflecting a line that you see coming out of people like Pat Buchanan and Lou Dobbs, which pushes a sort of U.S. economic nationalism that very with a very ugly juxtaposition of xenophobia. So the same nationalism that is leading to his anti-immigrant comments, unfortunately spills over, or maybe into this more useful area of his trade critique. The irony, of course, is that what Donald Trump, who seems to understand a little about trade policy, should understand is that the reason that so many people are crossing the border into the U.S. from Mexico and Central America is in no small part because of the devastating effects of U.S. trade policy, because of the fact that NAFTA destabilized the Mexican economy, because NAFTA destroyed the jobs of 5 million Mexican farmers, because NAFTA expanded the drug trade in Mexico and actually increased violence in the drug trade in Mexico and also increased militarization of Mexico, leading to U.S. military funding, more conflict and more violence, making Mexico an unsafe country for people to live in, leading to people crossing the border, not only for economic survival, but to avoid being killed.
I wanted to get it from the other side, too. Bernie Sanders and environmental groups, so say the more progressive end of the political spectrum, are also opposed to the agreement. What are their reasons?
Well, there's a recognition by Bernie Sanders, as well as by the labor movement, as well as by the environmental movement, as well as by public interest groups, that TPP is a corporate power grab, that this agreement will offshore U.S. jobs, that this agreement will empower corporations to attack our environmental standards and consumer safety rules, that TPP is not really simply a trade agreement. It is far more than that. It's an international corporate investor rights agreement. It's an international corporate intellectual property agreement that will lead to higher drug prices for consumers, less safe food, lower environmental standards, that will lead to a less free internet. But for the corporate CEOs, will lead to more profits as they import sweatshop-made goods, as they are able to attack our bans on dangerous practices like hydraulic fracturing, as they're able to export liquid natural gas and actually drive up gas prices, for U.S. consumers, as opposed to and build more infrastructure to do that, as opposed to really taking a forward-looking approach and investing in a sustainable energy future. TPP is really a step backwards, and it really gives lies to the idea that President Obama is a president concerned about addressing the problem of climate change. TPP is going to be an utter disaster for solving the global climate crisis, not only because of the fact that it deepens our investment in the fossil fuel economy, but also because it expands the globalization of industrial agriculture. It pushes more and more of the world towards consuming a first world style diet. Free trade agreements have had the effect of westernizing global diets, which means more people eating meat, more people eating dairy products. And we should understand that these are, in fact, in the food area, in the area of agriculture, which is one of the major contributors to climate change. Estimates of the contribution of agriculture to climate change, agriculture and forestry, range between 14% and 51% of global climate change. TPP is, instead of moving us more in the direction of sustainable agriculture, more in the direction of small farms and local food, more in the direction of plant-based diets, it's moving us instead in the direction of industrial food, genetically modified foods, factory farm agriculture, higher rates of meat and dairy consumption, and also higher rates of consumption of the most greenhouse gas intensive animal products. If you look at the countries in TPP, the U.S. is a major beef exporter, Australia is a major exporter of sheep products, Vietnam and Malaysia are exporters of farm shrimp. Those are the three common food products that have the highest carbon footprint of anything that we, really anything that we eat. So we are pushing us more and more towards dependence on these unsustainable foods, driving down prices on unsustainable foods through increased corporate market access, driving family farms out of the marketplace, and also undermining food safety standards. So instead of moving more towards a global, towards raising standards, what Obama says this agreement is about, a high standards global agreement, this agreement is actually attacking standards and pushing towards a race to the bottom.
In the New York Times today, there were at least several points that would lead somebody like me to think that the agreement had some advantages. They mentioned the accord for the first time would require state-owned businesses like those in Vietnam and Malaysia to comply with commercial trade rules and labor and environmental standards, and this, in a concession likely to be problematic with leading Republicans, the U.S. agreed that brand name pharmaceutical companies would have a period shorter than the current 12 years to keep secret their data on producing so-called biologics. Is there a darker side to these statements, these regulations, that isn't clear from the Times article?
Well, to look at the biologic statement for a second, this was one of the major sticking points of TPP. This was really the last major issue to be settled. And what it really what happened was Australia pushed back on the U.S. agenda for trying to impose a 12-year data exclusivity term on life-saving biologic drugs, which would have had the effect of delaying the release of generic drugs to the marketplace. The final result through this compromise was less extreme than the U.S. law. But what it will mean is that for countries that are not already, that don't already have that standard, for countries that don't already have a five-year rule, they will now be forced to delay the to delay allowing life-saving drugs onto the market. For Australia, for example, that's going to mean about $500 million in increased costs on in federal drug buying programs. For countries like Vietnam, where many of these medicines are the difference between life and death, and where rules like this didn't already exist, this can really prevent life-saving drugs, the government from buying life-saving drugs. People have called this the death clause. So the fact that we're dealing with a 5-year death clause instead of a 12-year death clause is better to have, I suppose it's better to have 5 years of people dying than 12 years of people dying on their, because of a given drug being inaccessible to consumers. But this is not some advance towards global health. This is the Obama administration being pressured to have to compromise on how much they were willing to kill people on behalf of pharmaceutical companies.
Neither option sounds good. Adam, I just have one more question, and this has been extremely informative. We just are running a little out of time. Vote in Congress, you had told me earlier, on the agreement is months away, maybe even a year away. In the meantime, what can our cable listeners do to voice their opinions on the TPP?
It is absolutely critical that people voice their opinions. This week in particular, particular that this story is going to be in the media. It's critical that people write letters to the editor right now, call in radio shows, write op-eds for your local newspaper, visit the offices of your elected officials. Let them know, particularly some of these, your local reps who supported Fast Track, and really all
Senator Wyden, in fact, supported Fast Track, right?
Senator Wyden not only supported Fast Track, Senator Wyden was really the main responsible party for Democratic Party support for Fast Track. So if at the end of the day, if TPP passes, if there's one person who ought to be blamed, it's Ron Wyden. People want to find out more about this issue, they can check our website at tradejustice.net. For people who want to find out more about activism that's already going on in Oregon, a great organization to be in touch with is the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. They can be reached at citizenstrade.org/CTC/Oregon. And finally, if people have any further questions, they can call us at 718-218-4523 or email us at info@tradejustice.net. That's Trade Justice New York Metro. And we are happy to connect people with like-minded people in your own area so that Oregonians can let Kurt Schrader and Susan Bonamici and so many other elected officials know that this matters to voters and that the voters will watch how they vote on TPP.
We've been talking with Adam Weissman, an organizer with Global Justice for Animals in the Environment and also with Trade Justice New York Metro, about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. An agreement was reached on that by the member nations over the weekend. I want to thank Adam very much. He was calling from a coffee shop in Washington, D.C., so he had a little background noise there. This is Ken Jones with KBOO News.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement in Portland. The walk ends at King Elementary School with a celebration to show solidarity